We heard it this morning when Mark was telling us that Christ imputed his righteousness onto us. What does imputed mean? Well, he put it on you. He put it in you and on you and upon you, if you will. And yet, Mark went on to say something like, go on and eat his bread, eat the bread of his flesh. Keep eating it is the idea. Keep doing this if you won't keep doing this. Gary this morning was talking about the difference in the church that he sees today, and the idea that people just aren't obeying the Lord and taking it as serious as the church probably used to, picking up the traditions of the church. I see the same thing, and that's why I decided to go through James. Not so much that I see it here, but that I see it in the world, and so much as to say, going forward, let's not lose sight of this. Because as Paul told Timothy and others, things are going to get worse. People are going to go from worse to worse. What should we look like? Well, should we go along with them? Should we kind of cave in a little bit? Even if I'm just sort of righteous, I will look really good next to people getting worse and worse, so I don't have to do that much, right? And the question is, will that please the Lord? That will not please the Lord. It will not please him. Did you know that Martin Luther wanted to throw the book of James out of the Bible? It's good to study every writer, every preacher you can. Get the good and the bad. Get this good stuff out. We know that Martin Luther, Calvin, and others were part of the Protestant Reformation, but they brought some things with them. You know, the pendulum where, you know, if you see evil in something, then you kind of go maybe to way the other way, you know. And Martin Luther saw the works in the church and that they preached works righteousness. And it came to a point, the Lord brought him to a point where he said that when he was reading Romans, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. But then Martin Luther, there was a couple things that he did. We'll just focus on this one idea here, that he went kind of the other way, like, okay, let's throw James out of the, let's just get James out of the Bible, because that doesn't make any sense. So watch what he says. We should throw the epistle of James out of this school for where he was teaching, for it doesn't amount to much. It contains not a syllable about Jesus Christ, about Christ. Not once does it mention Christ except at the beginning. Now, my mind, when I read this, went immediately to Esther. I don't know why, the Holy Spirit maybe, but my mind went immediately to Esther, and in that book, do you know that God isn't mentioned one time? Not once. But it's in the canon of scriptures, through the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures, and we know that he protected his people through that. So we accept that book. So that's not a reason to throw the book out. But that's not the main reason that he had, you see. First of all, does James talk about Jesus? Well, he actually mentions him twice. Not just once, but twice. And other places he alludes to him. Watch. James, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls him Lord, by the way. Verse 2, my brothers. Wait a minute. Brothers? How can we be brothers unless we're co-heirs in somebody? Co-heirs with the Son, because he mentions the Father in verse 17. So Luther, you know, a little bit off track there as well. Verse 7, from the Lord. He mentions the Lord 14 times. He doesn't mention Theos. He mentions the Lord. Kyrios. Who's that? That's, of course, Jesus Christ mentioned 14 times. Chapter 2, verse 1. Hold to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is all together. That's pretty clear. I think James knows who he's talking about. He calls him the Lord of glory, by the way. And then chapter 5, verse 7, the coming of the Lord is at hand. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ. So I think there's plenty to stand on that James is talking about Jesus Christ. And he will mention the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, James, concerning Jesus, in his words, in chapter 1, verse 26, you have an unbridled tongue deceives his heart. If we have an unbridled tongue, it deceives our hearts. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. And in chapter 5, it says, do not swear either by heaven or by earth. And what this is saying, what I'm getting to here is, James alluded to or directly quoted the words of Jesus Christ. Because remember what Jesus said? Out of your heart comes good or evil? Remember what Jesus quoted? And he asked, what is the first commandment and what is the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Where'd James get that? From Jesus. And then he directly quotes Jesus in saying, do not swear either by heaven or by earth. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said. So I think that there's plenty of evidence that James is talking about Jesus Christ directly and relates us to him directly as children, co-heirs, and sons and daughters of the Father above. Okay, that makes sense, right? So then Martin Luther concerning James again. We should throw the Epistle of James out. I maintain that some Jews wrote it who probably heard about Christian people who never encountered any, since he heard that Christians place great weight on faith in Christ. He thought, wait a minute. He's saying, this is what a Jew who wrote this said. Wait a minute. I'll oppose them and I'll urge works alone. And this he did. This writer of James, this fake epistle did, Martin Luther says. Therefore, St. James' epistle is really an epistle of straw compared to others, for it has nothing of the nature of the gospel about it. Now, I love Martin Luther, and I want to suggest something to you, that in the work of God from Genesis to Revelation, and in the work of Israel, and in the work of the church, and even in the work of your life, he takes you through stages. He unveils and he helps us. And when Luther came about, when he nailed those theses on the wall, he's telling the church, hey, you've been teaching me wrong. And he was absolutely right. And so he took that and he went on his way to try to figure out this grace and works thing and all of those kinds of things. But he had to wrestle with some things. He had to work through this idea. And now, whenever he sees the word works, you know he's going to have a problem. Because he's been preached that, and now it's been wrong all his life. So now he's got a little something, you know, in his crawl. You know, a burr in his saddle, if you will. Right? And so that's what's going on here, okay? But the question is, and here's our question for today, did James preach works alone? Did James preach that works saves you? Well, it depends on what you mean, because James does say it. But what is he saying? And so if we read through this, and uneducated mind, or we don't quite understand the idea of justification and works, we go, well, wait a minute, I'm not going into James. And this is one of the reasons why I am going into James. Because it's difficult, and do we throw it out? I think most of the church has just kind of maybe not thrown it out, but kind of left it behind. Look what James says. Faith was active. So did he throw out faith? No. Faith was active all along with his works. He's talking about Abraham. And faith was completed by his works. Okay, now, this is interesting, because now how do we get from justification and righteousness of Christ, imputed righteousness, as Mark has said, how do we get that and yet be justified by a completed work? We're either Isn't it one or the other? And see, what happens is the church just wants to say, well, you know, you're saved by grace, and, you know, that's not what that means. I heard wonderful people, friends of mine, pastor friends of mine, start to say, well, this justification and this faith is not talking about an eternal salvation. This is talking about being saved now. This is talking about God's going to save you in this life. Okay? That's not what this is talking about. He didn't save Abraham in his life. He killed him in this life. He took him home, just like he did the rest of the people who walked in faith. So it can't mean that. God saved Abraham through some battles and stuff, but eventually he died. We're all going to die. It is appointed for men and women once to die, right? It's appointed, except for the rapture. Talk to Enoch about that. So let's try to understand James so we don't skip over it. All right? Let's not throw him out. Even Martin Luther, watch what he says about works. This is really interesting. Therefore, when some say good works are forbidden, when we preach faith alone, it is as if I asked a sick man, if you had health, you would have the use of your limbs. But without health, the works of your limbs are nothing. And he wanted to infer that I had forbidden the works of all his limbs. Faith alone makes all other works good, acceptable, and worthy. So when he was doing his treatise, he had to work through the idea of works. And he pretty much gets it right here. He pretty much gets it right. I didn't see any repentance about James, concerning James in the book there. But he's pretty much right here in that you can't separate the religious faith, the belief in Jesus Christ, from works. You can't. Folks, you can't be saved and all of a sudden just do what you want. We can't just live the life that we want, free of the commandments of God, the pricking of the Holy Spirit, Him chipping away at us, His disciplining us, and His, remember, that's a teaching idea, and even, but His chastisement as well. We can't separate it, because Hebrews says we're not His kids if we do. And we want to be His kids, all right? Jesus concerning works, not salvation, all right? He'll touch on it, but works. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does. Oh, now, wait a minute. So let's stop there. Jesus hung on the cross, and when he got on the cross, that's old school. See, Paul comes up, and now he preaches something else, right? We don't take Jesus' words here. We don't have to do anything. Then we throw Jesus' words out. Might as well throw Matthew out, right? No. We have to hear and try to come to some realization between the salvation righteousness and the works that we must do. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You remember that old song, remember? Wise man built his house. We should bring that into VBS. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. There's that heavenly relationship, that father image again. But is it a relationship because of just what we want it to be? No, there better be some doing. Okay, now wait a minute. Now I'm saved by works. You see what I just did? What Jesus just did. There better be some doing. Well, now we got a problem. Because where's the salvation by faith? Where is the, let me use this word, introducing, justification by faith? Ah, there's the key. Whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, but do not do what I say? Later on, he will say, if you love me, you will keep He didn't say, if you love me, you're going to end up in heaven, and that will happen. But there's, if you love me, you'll keep, and you'll end up in heaven. That's kind of the idea there. Let's break it down. Whenever you come to something difficult in the Bible, it's important. I heard somebody say recently, and I think I told you this. If it's weird, if it's important, it's important. Tension is weird. We think that, you know, the gospel is simple, so everything should be simple. It's not that simple. We have to delve into the deep things of God and understand them. So let's talk about grace and faith and justification. And I have to add the word righteousness, okay? Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified. Justified. Justified hadn't sinned. We remember that, right? Like, to tetelestai, it is finished. You have the prisoners, when they were in prison, when they got out, they used to get a certificate. And on that certificate was the word tetelestai. It is finished. It's paid for. You paid for your sins or your crimes. You're released from jail. And Jesus is using that on the cross. Tetelestai. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Well, now I'm really mixed up. Because where does the works come in? James? I think maybe we got to throw you out, right? Or Jesus' words? No. No. It doesn't work that way, because this is how it works. This is very interesting. Justification and righteousness. The word justification in the Greek is dikaiosune. Okay? That's the word justification. Look at the word righteousness below it. Dikaiotai. You see the first parts of those words? That's all you need to recognize. It would be the D-I-K-A-I in our lingo. Are they the same? Isn't that interesting? That in the Greek, the word for justification and righteousness are the same. It's the same. Except, Greek is very particular. The ending. Who's doing what? Who's doing what? Made right, justification is you are made right before God. How? By your faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now that's in the Hebrew, but it's carried along three or four times into the New Testament just that way. Okay? But now watch. The righteousness that I do, walking rightly before God. A person is justified by works. James. Okay? A person is justified by works. So, God is justifying me by my, what? Faith. And I continue to justify myself before God by my works. So now, you'll know them by their fruit, their works. In the Hebrew, there's two different words. It's tzedek and mishpat. Okay? He splits them up. There's a justification and a righteousness. And it's, again, Gary was all through this morning in a big way. He was talking about these two things. Justification and righteousness. Genesis 15:6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Who counted what? God. Why? Because he believed. Now remember, that's not a work. Because the father comes to Abraham and says, hey, Abraham, I got a land, I got a family, I got a whole thing for you. Go. Who talked to who first? God talked to Abraham. What did Abraham do? He believed. That's all he did. He got up and left. All right? But he had to leave. He had to leave. It came on his belief. So these are the first These are the first uses of these two words in the Bible, which is so cool because justification comes first. God justifies you. But watch what Abraham does in chapter 18. For I have chosen him, God said, I chose Abraham, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what? Righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Isn't that interesting? That God brought justification first to Abraham, and then he said, Abraham, go tell your kids to do what you're doing. Go tell your kids to do the same thing you are doing. Okay? Now, what happens, what would have happened if Abraham would not have left Ur? It's a lack of belief. You know how we know? Numbers 13. What happened to the children when they didn't go into the land? Discipline, problems, and that whole generation died except for Joshua and Caleb and the new generation. You see? We are justified by our works. We continue to be justified before him by our works. And it's like this. It's as simple as this. Jesus, I love you. Today, I'm going to keep your commandments. I'm going to stay away from that. It's that whole thing, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago. I'm going to stay away from that. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't please the Lord. I'm going to please him. So the Lord goes, see, that man is walking justly in my sight. He's walking righteously before me. First comes justification. The same word, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness or justified. He is justified. John 3:16. Your favorite verse? You can go along with this in your heart today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That what? God first gave, and then you believe, and then you're justified. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. You're going to have everlasting life. That's the idea, that you are justified before God. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So you can't do works to be justified. You can't do enough to be justified before God. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, had discovered? If Abraham was indeed justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. If you confess with your... And then he jumps over to chapter 10 there. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are justified. You are saved. You are saved. Okay? But Paul has more to say. All right? Because then comes walking justified. Then becomes walking justly. Then becomes righteousness. Now remember, Jesus imputes his righteousness on you so that you're justified before God, but you still must walk righteously. Okay? A person is justified by his works. Philippians 2:11, the same one who wrote Romans. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's the confession to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, once you've confessed, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That's walking the righteous life, walking justly before our God. And I want to say again that the reason that we're in James is the same thing that Gary said this morning, is that less and less people are doing this. Less and less people are going to do this going forward. The church people, Christians, are going to do less and less, and some will depart from the faith. So now, I believe, now is the time to make up your mind, to make your decision. Do I love God? We can say yes, I believe in Jesus and he justified me. And that's why one of the other verses will say, even the demons believe in Jesus and tremble. You know, that whole idea. And they're on the other side. But there's something that happens in a Christian, and this is what it looks like. Second coming, the second comes justice, okay? We walk in justice. James 2:14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? And that's James's question. Is it a salvation faith? Now, you've heard of miracles if you haven't seen one. And a miracle, I believe, the biggest, greatest miracle is to be born again. The Holy Spirit, because Jesus died and went away, he said, I will send the Comforter. The Comforter comes and he resides in our hearts. He resides on the throne of our soul, if you will. The throne. And he takes over, right? And when he takes over, our minds begin to change and our character should change. Paul says then to work out your salvation because our minds change. Paul says take every thought captive and all those kinds of things. So we say, now, you see, my old ways of doing things are not right. I need to adjust myself to the new way of living, a Christian walk. I need to walk justly before him. So James is saying, are you walking justly? Because his concern is, if you're not, you should question your faith. There's still a huge deal between John MacArthur and so many others. John MacArthur has been pinned with this whole idea of lordship salvation. And sometimes I've heard him, sometimes he'll get there and he'll say, you know, you can't be saved unless you're doing, and, you know, those kinds of things. And he's a great preacher and he's very solid and he's unafraid, okay? That man's unafraid. And he will tell it like it is. And really, he's teaching like James. That's really what he's doing, okay? But others will say, and I even heard this in Dallas Seminary, God bless them, John goes a little too far sometimes. He gets on this, well, if you have not made him Lord of your life, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. And I understand Dallas. I'm from there, and I totally get it. I totally get it. But sometimes these people go so far as to say, John MacArthur, you don't know what you're talking about. James, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, really, that's kind of almost where you're getting if you're not careful, because we can't throw James out of the Bible. And if you do, you got to throw Matthew out and Romans chapter others, and, you know, start picking up like some of our, you know, one of our presidents, he went through and clipped some of the Bible and took it out because it doesn't make sense to him. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to deal with the tension. We're going to understand these things. So he uses an example. James will use three examples, all right? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? And first of all, we would just say, you caught me talking to some guy who needed help or whatever. You say, well, what did he need? Well, he just needed a ride down to, you know, the gas station, or he needed, a loaf of bread or something. And you say, well, you know, did you help him out? Be warm. Now, we've got to be careful here. We've got to be really careful here. Because this is not the only place in the Bible it talks about working for your brothers and sisters. The first thing that we don't want to do is hand out some social gospel where you just start helping people, and hey, this person needs help and that organization needs help, and so you feel justified in giving somebody a loaf of bread, but they never once heard the name Jesus Christ. Did they hear the name Jesus Christ? This is brother or sister. So we're going to leave the social network, the social gospel aside for a minute, okay? We're going to talk about brothers or sisters. If somebody in the church calls and asks for need and we don't help them, we got a problem. Because the father wants to help his daughter or brother, but the brother and daughter and sister won't help the brother and sister. You get it? That's a big problem. So that really would show a lack of love. Somebody is in need and they ask for some help. We may not be able to do some things, but we can, you know, do what we can. That's the idea. And so, James, you sure took a big leap here, because you went from salvation and the faith about salvation to giving somebody some food. And all James is saying is, if you're a son or daughter of the Father on high, if you're a sister and brother of somebody in the church and they need help and you're cold-hearted, that's a problem. Now, this is not rocket science to us, is it? This is clear as the bell to us. This makes total sense. We feel guilty if, well, I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have did this. Or, you know, that's who we are. That's what this church has been. We get this. We just want to make sure we keep doing this. We want to keep doing this as people bow out of helping brothers and sisters. Okay, example two. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Now watch this, okay? Stop for a second. You're in relationship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. You're co-heirs. You're walking, this is your Christian walk. And you're walking with Him. And remember what He told Joshua? Don't go to the left or the right. This is the idea, that when you're walking with Him, I'm keeping a righteous act, I'm keeping a righteous walk with Him. So He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? After Abraham believed, God told him to do something, and he was justified at that moment because he obeyed the Lord. He obeyed Him. Now, I'm going to throw a little something in here. Ready? We studied Abraham a little bit on Sundays with Ben. In fact, we're still in the middle of it. We're getting in some great stuff. And one of the things we just learned through the work of Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and what Moses wrote about Abraham and what Moses wrote in Abraham and in Genesis as well, this whole idea, when you put all the story together, here's the concept. Abraham was in the country of Ur when God called him. That's clear. Absolutely clear. He was there when God called him. Where did he go next? Did he go to the land? No. He went north with his dad. Something happened. We have some ideas, but we just don't need to go into that now. But Terah, his dad, went north up along the Euphrates, and he stopped and he built a city. Did Abraham go directly across the wilderness? No, he went with his dad. And it wasn't until his dad died that Abraham went to the land. So sometimes, eventually, yes, we kind of have to get there. You know? The Lord would sometimes like it, you know, a little quicker. But the point is, in Abraham's life, and this is what God is saying, did you obey? Yes, I did. It took some doing. It always does. Paul said, we struggle not against flesh and blood, of course. But then he says, we struggle not to the point of shedding blood. We have to struggle against ourselves, our own will. And you know that as well as I do, because you're human and you're a Christian. And so we say, yeah, I eventually got there. Who eventually got there? How many times? You want my testimony for the last 40 years? He was justified. He got there. Now, it is interesting that with Isaac, immediately the next morning he got up and went and sacrificed, or was to sacrifice Isaac, because he believed God and he knew the resurrection would have lifted his son. You see, that faith was active along with his works. That's the idea. The faith is active and along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So you're walking down this path, and God says, do this. And you say, not today. I'm not going to do that today. And in fact, I'm not going to do that for the next year. I'm not going to do that for the next 10 years. Now what? Well, you got a problem with God. You have a problem with your father. And the idea is, now if you're in relationship with him, you never fall out of a relationship with him, ever. You can't lose your salvation. But you have to question your faith. Do I believe God told me? Yes. Do I believe that if I carry this out, I will be blessed by him? Yes. Then why not do it right away? What has God been telling you to do? Get involved with the church, for the sisters and brothers. What has he been telling you to do? The longer you hold off, the longer he holds off. All right? That's kind of the idea. He's a father, and he disciplines his kids. Example 3. First of all, when we talk about Rahab, we have to go to Joshua. We have to understand Joshua 6:16. And at the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab. Think about this. Jericho, one of the biggest cities in Canaan, it's the guard post coming into the land, a strategic place. And so he says, we're going to destroy everything except one person. Well, her family. But one person, because of her faith, only Rahab the prostitute. Wait a minute. God doesn't save prostitutes. I've heard people try to change this word. That's not what that means. That's exactly what that means. Because that was her former life. Okay? And all who were with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. Now, think about this now. Here's Rahab. She's living in the walls. And they've got an army there. They've got the guards and the king and all that stuff. All right. And so these spies come in. And she hides them. And then afterwards, who comes to her door? Specifically, the king's men. Okay, now who's scared and who's doing what? Because she's got two guys hiding in the flax on the roof, and the king's men come to her door, and if she lies, she's dead. So what did she want to be saved from? What did she hear? You remember what she heard? We have heard of your God and what he has done to the people of the land. Right? That's all she heard. It's like Abraham. Get up and go, and I'm going to take you to a land. Okay, I believe. You see? Get up and go. Now, you and I know a lot more than that. We've got Rahab's story, Joshua's story, Moses, Abraham, you name them. We've got everybody's story. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? We're just believing God's going to come and save me someday. Meanwhile, I can do my own thing. No, the church has to do less of our own thing and more of his. Less of our own and more of his. Now, what is that? What are those things? Is it for me to stand up in here and tell you and just point you out by name? You know, you should be, first of all, I don't know all your lives and who you're involved with and who needs what. Maybe your sister needs something. And so I say, you know, Nancy needs something, and so you go do that? No, I don't know those things. Who's doing that? That's the Holy Spirit. So when you're going through the Word, he's saying, do that. It's not me. It's not Gary. It's not Sue or anybody else. It is the Word of God. And you're going through this, and you say, hey, I should be doing that. And somebody comes up and has a need, or somebody comes up and, you know, whatever, or there's a position, whatever happens. Something happens in your life, only you and the Holy Spirit know. Now, there are people with discernment, and the church is going to confirm those kinds of things. We have. Miracles have happened with people here. Very small, they seem, but I know them. I know what's happened. People were called at a very specific time. See, when you're involved with the Lord, He is working in your life. But if you're just walking down there on your own, doing your own thing, you will never know these things. If you're reading the Word and walking in His Spirit, you will know these things. So, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. I'm going to put it this way in the Greek. You are righteous by your works. It's the same word. So, you are walking righteously by your works. That's how you look at this. I want to walk righteously. I am justified by Christ. Yes, I get it. I believe. Yes, I get it. But I want to continue to be justified in His sight. I want to please Him. I'm going to walk righteously in His sight. And in the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. If you are walking along that road and not operating in your faith, it is dead faith. It may as well be dead. It's not operating. Bury it. You kind of want to bury it. No, I would say not bury it. What did the Lord say Himself? What's Paul going to say? Wake up. What does He tell Timothy? Stir that spirit that is in you. Stir it up. I'm going to, you know what? A little less that and a little less this. Okay? I'm going to do a little less TV, a little less of that. I'm going to do more reading and maybe help some people. A little more. I'll just start there, Lord. Help me to do a little more. Because I know that You are pricking my heart. Gary, again this morning, he said something in one of his notes. It just caught my ear. Blessed is the man who maintains justice. Isn't that wonderful? He's justified you. Now we maintain it. Jesus will say, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, but do it before the Lord. And in the same way, let your light so shine before men. John 15. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, proving yourselves to be my disciples. You're justified. Nobody can take that away from you. Christ's righteousness is on you, in you, and it will be with you to the end. But our work now is to work out our salvation. To say, I love the Lord, I'm going down this way, and I'm not going to look this way before men. I mean, there are good things. Would people say good things about you? The Bible talks about that. That's good. But that's not really what we're after. We're after maintaining a justified and righteous walk before the Lord. Lord, we worship You and thank You so much for Your grace and mercy again today. Again, we pray for VBS tonight. We just thank You, Lord, for the opportunity. We pray that the kids' hearts will turn to You, Lord God. But may we as Christians who've been in the faith for a long time, some of us, not back up from this walk, but go forward. That we run the race that Paul says, that in which You will give us a crown. Help us to be very strong and very courageous in these things. We pray all these things in Your holy name. Amen.